All right, let's talk about high school sports and what's going on there. Very passionate voices you've seen at a lot of these different rallies that have been held. Over the weekend, there were some big ones. I think yesterday there were some. All last week, pretty much, you saw one at Daly Plaza downtown. There were those in Springfield and that kind of thing. Joe Trost is a student-athlete advocate, and he's part of the movement called Let Us Play. Joe, thanks for being on the show.
How are you doing?
All right. What's going on in your world here? Because it seems things seem to be heating up, and there are very passionate voices, and I get the sense that folks feel like you're running out of time here.
Well, you know, it's 2020. Anything goes, right? And, you know, when people sit here and talk about running out of time, there really is no time. If you think about, you know, what the Illinois High School Association did, they bypassed their bylaws and constitution and basically readjusted the calendar, right? So they moved what would normally be some fall sports to take place in the winter. And per their bylaws and constitution, they need to send that out to membership. They made that decision on their own end. So, you know, back to your point about time, you know, some people will say, well, in past years, football season ends at X date. You know, who's to say that there can't be a state football championship game on New Year's Day this year? You know, there's a lot of different things going on here. You know, obviously, there's been rallies throughout the entire Chicagoland area and, you know, throughout the state over the past, really, 2 weeks and, you know, bubbling up a little bit more. So obviously, you know, Minnesota was the fifth state in 2 weeks to flip yesterday where they reinstated all fall sports. So you have 80% of the country and all Midwest states playing all fall sports, including football. So really, Illinois is the lone state between the East and the West Coast not playing right now. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see what goes on here. Just pointing back to Minnesota real quick, last Tuesday, parents filed a lawsuit there. The association on Wednesday announced that they were going to have a special board meeting on Monday, yesterday. The status hearing for that case was delayed on Friday. Minnesota had their board hearing and reinstated everything. And what you're going to see here in the coming hours is that there's going to be a class action lawsuit filed against the governor and the Illinois High School Association by a group of student athletes and parents on behalf of all student athletes throughout the state of Illinois. To, you know, look at some things here really based around three key arguments. You know, three arguments are the governor and his powers after 30 days, which was part of a lawsuit downstate earlier this year. Secondly, the arbitrary decision to decide what is low, medium, and high-risk sports. And what I mean by that is, you know, the governor decided which sports could be played right now. There's four sports being played in the high school fall sports season right now. Those are cross country, golf, girls tennis, and swimming. But there's been some arguments around the standpoint. You know, obviously we've heard from Dr. Ezekiel, a very smart doctor. So obviously she has kids that are actually in high school sports too. You know, and the decision was, you know, obviously to tier the sports. Well, you can have an argument that basketball, for example, indoor sport, sweating, banging bodies, that would be considered a high-risk sport in the COVID era. That was actually made a medium-risk sport, where a sport like lacrosse, which is outside, which we've heard from the experts that outside sports are safer than indoor. You know, lacrosse has face masks on, doesn't have the body stuff, and that was put as a high-risk sport. So there's a lot of different questions around that. And then the third argument is really going to be around the IHSA, who bypassed its bylaws and constitutions and readjusted the calendar. And that was the argument up in Minnesota. Obviously, the association up there realized that they probably did screw up, and they just went ahead and, you know, listened to some additional medical experts, and they put the seasons back. So, again, real interesting times. Yeah. You know, it's almost 1 year to the date. A year ago at this time is when CPS student-athletes were sidelined during the CTU strike, and they had to stand up and fight for themselves, and they did, and they won in court to get those sports back out there. So hopefully in the end here, you know, in a health and safety way, these kids in Illinois, these student athletes can get back on the field, because there's a massive, massive physical and mental impact, which has been shown by recent studies.
Let me talk to you about that. First of all, I just want to back up just a second. Are you part of that class action lawsuit? You said a group of student athletes. Is that you and others?
It's a group of parents and student athletes.
Okay.
I am not involved.
Okay, you're not involved. I just wondered. And so I understand you look for legal challenges there, and you very, you know, eloquently laid out what those are. I think the most compelling issues for me are what you just started to touch on there, is when I hear the students come up to the podiums there and at the rallies and things like that. and they talk about just tell us how to do this. We'll follow the rules. You know, we really need this, and it's a mental health thing. My daughter's age, doesn't play any sports or anything like that. So I don't quite hit it as a parent, but I feel that there's an honesty to that when I hear kids say that's real.
Oh, no. No doubt. I mean, imagine, you know, 2020 has been exhausting, you know, for adults. Just imagine being a 14, 15, 16-year-old, you know, student. You know, there was a study that came out from the University of Wisconsin Medical. They surveyed 13,000 student-athletes across 46 states, nearly 900 counties. And what they saw was the depression and anxiety rates were up 67%. You know, many of these kids where they would involve medical intervention. And what people need to realize, ironically, September is National Teen Suicide Awareness Month. Depression and anxiety are the top two causes for teen suicide, which is the second leading cause of death for students between the ages of 12 to 18. If teen suicide death rate raises just 1%, that will be more than the total COVID deaths for youth throughout the entire country. So obviously, you know, these kids, we all know that with physical activity, it enhances your mental health. It enhances, you know, just your overall well-being. So, you know, either 80% of the country and parents and coaches and schools and red states, blue states, either they're doing it right or wrong. And, you know, these kids are going over the border, right? They're playing with their club teams. They're going to Indiana.
Right.
They're going to Wisconsin each weekend. So
that is happening. I have a friend who has four young athletes, and they are all in Indiana right now because they're remote learning. And she said, well, we'll move here and we'll do sports there. And somehow they're figuring that out. That is happening. And the other thing I hear all the time is that there's the discipline of sports, that a lot of kids become locked into that system. And that is not only their sense of belonging, but that's how they have a structure to their day. And they have outlets for everything they need. I mean, I get those arguments. I think the governor has been saying that these are high-contact sports and he doesn't want to sacrifice lives. I mean, you can understand that opinion, too. It just feels to me as if other states are doing it now. Can we also figure that out? And what are your discussions, or what have the discussions been like as people within your groups or I don't want to call it an organization because it's really more of a movement, let us play, when there have been interactions with the governor?
So another key study here, just to hit on your first comment there. University of Wisconsin Medical also followed 90,000 student-athletes over a 10-week period, 45,000 practices, 6,000 contact games over a 10-week period. The COVID rate went down compared to the previous 10 weeks before when there were no games. So, I mean, you know, that's the interesting thing. If these kids are going over the border and playing contact sports in states that have higher positivity rates, which we also know that the 7-day average in these states are hitting a bounce because of some of these college outbreaks. You need to keep that in mind. But if these kids are going over the border playing contact sports and coming back to Illinois, if there is community spread, you would expect the percentage in our area, in the Chicagoland area and throughout the state, to go up, and that hasn't been the case. And the one thing that the Illinois High School Association has tried to argue back with the governor is that they have not seen a spike in any of the surrounding states' COVID positivity rates driven from youth sports. This isn't just a high school standpoint. There's youth football going up to Wisconsin, Racine. You know, there was a parent who told me this past weekend that they played basketball up in Kenosha from Wheaton, and they played against a team in Villa Park and Glenview. So think about that. It, you know, and let's look at it from a small business standpoint, right? Kenosha, you know, Maryville, Hammond. You've got this influx of families coming there to play sports. You have Hispanic soccer leagues, the big Clausa leagues, they're right over the border.
I hear you on that, Joe. I think the governor's argument has been purely a health concern. I don't think he's been willing to even go to economics because he's health is first and foremost to him. And that's why I asked you what the latest reaction you have received to what you're trying to do here. I'm just going to read this to you. Marianne Ahern from NBC, one of my favorite reporters, and I think does a darn good job. She just tweeted out, governor's press secretary says, you've been asking about sports for a week as she ushered Governor Pritzker out of the room today, not able to ask any off-topic questions. So the reporters didn't get questions today. Have you gotten, or any answers today, I should say. Yeah. Have you guys gotten answers about a timeline or any sort of ability to work with you on anything to open up sports again?
No, there isn't a timeline. And Marianne did try to ask the question at the end of the press conference, and Governor Pritzker did walk out. No, there isn't. You know, last week, Last Tuesday at 9:30, Dr. Ezeki made the first phone call to Dr. LaBella from the Illinois High School Association Sports Medicine Committee. They had a 30-minute conversation. A few days later, the Illinois Department of Public Health asked for the return-to-play packets, which, again, the IHSA Sports Medicine Committee has put together, had for a while. They tried to be in touch with the Illinois Department of Public Health. They have not had a response back from them. So, you know, as conversations here, as pressure picks up, right, you continue to look throughout the country, and you have student-athletes and families, many of them who have moved from a football standpoint, they're now looking at basketball, huge sport in the city of Chicago. What are they going to do? They're kind of looking for answers, timelines, and that's where it's got to the point of, you know, maybe it's time to get this in front of a judge, see what can be done here, because you're having a mental, physical impact, and not only that, you know, if you start looking further down the line, lifelong impacts, because obviously a lot of these student-athletes in the low-income areas who need the public school activities and sports to be seen by colleges to further their education, they're losing those, and especially those CPS kids who lost it last year. Imagine as a junior, right? You lost it at the end of last year. Now you're losing your entire season here in the fall. And the last thing I would throw out at you is this. If these fall sports can't go at 3% positivity rate right now, think about it. If they're supposed to go February 15th in the dead of winter,
I can see. I've heard many in your organization say that does not seem like if you're going to bet that it's going to go down from here 3.7, that if you're banking on that doesn't seem likely. Joe, can you hang on a second? I want to ask you about testing, because that's another issue that always comes up about high school sports. You can't test like you can in the pros. Want to ask you about that, and please weigh in anytime. 312-981-7200. Love to hear your thoughts. Jump into the conversation here on WGN. Anna here, WGN. So we're talking about the return of high school sports in Illinois. The governor seemed to slam that door shut a couple days ago when he gave a news conference. He didn't answer questions about it today, but it doesn't mean that there aren't folks who are pushing even harder than ever, filing lawsuits and such, and trying to get some sort of a timeline, some sort of restrictions, or some way of returning to sports. Let's talk to Coach Mike Bertzinger, I think it is. I hope I said your name right there. Coach Mike, what do you have to say about this?
You know, I think it's, first of all, thanks for having me on. I think it's an area that needs to be readdressed. I mean, you can't stand on it based off of the fact that every state in the central U.S. right now is playing fall sports, with the exception of Illinois. So the blueprint, the sample, the ability to do it is being done. So if you need some guidance, any surrounding state right now, you can call very easily and get some information on how to get it done safely and successfully.
Coach Mike, what do you coach?
So I coach 707 football with Midwest Boom. Okay. We keep these kids playing year-round, and that's one of the things that we've been dead set on this entire time is making sure that these kids have that outlet to positively expend that energy, because if you don't give them an outlet to focus positively on, it's one of those things that it can turn dark. And that's why you hear a lot of the talks about the depression that's going on with not just students, but athletes as well. And the increased suicide watch and suicide rate that's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think depression is real, and it's a multifactored thing in a lot of cases. And I think for some kids, this doesn't help. That's for sure. Coach Mike, before I let you go, I want to ask you this. A lot of people ask, you can't really test in high school. We can't afford it like you can in the pros or even in college ball. How do you get around that?
I mean, with protocols, I'll say this. All the athletes that we've come in contact with they push through. They are a determined group of people here in Illinois, and you put any protocol you want in place, put any precautions you want, any testing in place, and they're going to strive through it. They just want to compete and they want to play. And I think if you put the proper guidelines in place, with testing, whether it be temperature, masks and stuff accordingly, the science is out there on what it takes to actually get COVID and how much sustained interaction has to be with somebody that has it.
Right. You just want some blueprint so that the kids can play.
Yeah.
That's
what you're looking for. Give them a blueprint. The kids will push through. I promise you they'll adapt and they'll compete, and everyone will be better for it.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks for calling in today. I want to get to another caller here, AJ in Batavia. Go ahead, AJ. Your thoughts on this. What do you think?
Yeah. Yes, hi, Anna. I very much appreciate this segment here. Look, I think high school sports and opening the schools, it's all extremely important, and this is heartbreaking for the kids in every facet. But again, the neighboring states have a very high positivity rate. Iowa's almost number one in the nation. Wisconsin is creeping up higher. It's now on the watch list and is going to be on the quarantine list. And this is about the older teachers, the older maintenance workers. This is going to put the community more at risk. We're going to have grandparents getting this because kids are going to bring it home. And a percentage of kids and a percentage of community will die from this because of COVID. So this is a house, you know, in a multi-generational setting. So I think that this we're looking this wrong, Anna.
Thank you, AJ. Thanks for the thoughts. And I think a lot of people do feel that way. Kaylee, I want to make sure I get you on before we run out of time here. You're a student athlete. Are you at Plainfield Central? Is that right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Kaylee?
I think they should let us play. I think we've been sidelined for the past 7 months, and I mean we're seeing the rates of suicide and depression and anxiety raise. And I think it's time that we stop focusing on not only our physical health, but also our mental health.
And are you, and you play, what do you play, Kaylee?
I play soccer and tennis.
So right now you wouldn't get to play till winter, that winter date that we're hopeful things look good enough to be able to play then. Is that right?
No, so my soccer season is typically played in the spring, but because they're letting boys soccer and boys football play in the spring, my season got bumped to the summer.
Oh, I didn't know it worked that way.
Yeah.
All right, Kaylee. Thanks for your call. I want to get back to Joe here. Joe Trost has been explaining to us a little more about the movement, Let Us Play, and all the folks who are trying to convince the governor to set a standard. Only have a minute here, but just give me your final thoughts here, Joe, where things go from here.
So one, quickly back to that caller, you know, obviously everybody's aware of what could be done from the community, but we now have, you know, almost 2 months of data that is showing from youth sports and high school sports throughout the country, there is not one case where they've shown community spread back that has been caused by youth sports. Secondly, in terms of the testing down in Florida, a number of high schools are using rapid testing. So, you know, that is an option. There are some districts, obviously your lower districts in terms of low-income areas, they're not going to be able to afford that, so there would be an inequity thing here. What we need to remember also is this, is that, you know, we need to figure out a way to help student-athletes right now. You know, there are certain things that, you know, we do every single day that we're challenged as a society. And instead of automatically saying no, we need to kind of look and figure out what can we do to help these kids. You know, let's sit down, get back to the table, figure out and look at these other states. There's 80% of the U.S. is doing it. So, again, either they're doing something right or they're doing something wrong. And,
let's,
you know,
learn from it, right?
We just, yep, exactly.
Joe, thank you for the time, and keep us posted on stuff. Let us know what's going on. Nothing from the governor today. He didn't want to answer questions on it, but we'll see what happens next. Thanks.
Cool.